Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
A wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, and I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, who is none other than Jennifer Chacon. Jennifer is the founder and CEO of Dare to Thrive, a coaching company focused on helping small business owners and the companies they run thrive in health, work, and life. She brings a 20-year background in leadership, multiple coaching certifications, and a passion for living the best life possible to her clients. Jen, welcome to Career Callings. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Man, you better believe it. I'm glad to have you on today, and I'm excited about what the Lord has in store for our conversation. And my little brief intro of you is pretty much professionally focused, so take a second or two to tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I am newly married about 2.5 years now to a great guy that God put in my life, and stepmom to 4 amazing kids. So that kind of turned my life upside down a little over 2 years ago. We live here in Greenville and love the area and love just being involved in our community and our church and being active and doing all those things that help us just live a full life if possible.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What age ranges are the kids, by the way?
We have 10, 13, 17, and 19.
Ah, a lot of teenagers there. Good luck you there. Good luck to you indeed. We've got 3 of our own, and they're pretty much all teens as well. We've got a 19-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old son, and a 12-year-old daughter. So, yeah, it's a fun time of life, actually. I'm enjoying it thoroughly and hope you are too.
Absolutely.
Well, take a second or two, Jen, to tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now vocationally to help feed your family and kind of the path that God led you down to get you to this point in your career.
Absolutely. So right now I own my own business, and I really felt a passion, God calling me to do this about, it's been a little over, it was beginning of 2014, to really help people connect the dots of their life. Where does their health, their work life, and their life in general, where do they all intersect? And how do we live the biggest life that God created us to live? And so I work a lot with small business owners and help them to balance those areas of their life. And balance is a tenuous word in and of itself, just juggling all those different balls. And what led me to this, I had worked with the YMCA for almost 20 years. And I loved the why, loved the mission, loved being a part of a Christian-based organization, but just really felt like God was telling me to go do something different. And I struggled for years figuring out what that was. And stumbled upon coaching, fell in love with the process of really helping people to dig into their self, their story, their lives, and figure out what would work for them. I don't tell anybody what to do. I help them figure out the path for them. And I just loved that God could use that skill to help people figure out things that they were struggling with. So through a kind of neat God story, he provided for me financially through actually my father's death. My mom had sold the house after my dad died, and the amount of money that she had left, she gave my brother and I. I put my part in the bank and tithed 10% of it, had a certain amount left. And when I went to look at a coaching certification, the course that I had been looking at was exactly the amount of money that I had left in the bank. And I really felt like that was God telling me, this is me providing for you to go do this thing. So I got my coaching certification, left the Y again in February of 2014, and have been blessed that God has guided me and financially taken care of me every step of the way, through a lot of valleys of trying to figure out what the heck I was supposed to do with this calling, to a lot of highs of really seeing some people thrive and shift their perspective in life and everything in between. And then, of course, 2 years ago, he provided me with a great husband and a family that I can now be a part of supporting them as well, and him supporting me.
That's great. That's great. During that journey that the Lord has led you down to bring you where you are right now, what would you consider to have been your biggest career failure? And if you don't like the word failure, then we can call it the biggest career challenge. What has that been, and what kind of lesson have you learned from that?
That's a great question. My biggest challenge has been probably, I am sometimes challenged with lack of focus. My brain goes a million different directions in 10 minutes. Sometimes I feel like I'm one of those people that new ideas are always popping in my head, in the car, in the shower, at dinner, wherever. And so I was trying to chase a bunch of different things at times. And that can be very overwhelming, especially as a small business owner, where I get to decide what direction my business is going. And so what I have found is when I take the time to step back and start each day in my quiet time with God and turn over my business to Him every single day, when I take the time weekly and monthly and yearly to set goals, and I again start that by stepping back and saying, God, I need you to guide where you want this business to go. I want it to be for your glory and where you want it to serve people. That has been the best thing for me. It's just, He helps keep me focused when I give Him over the reins to my company. And I can go for some long periods of time sometimes forgetting to do that, you know, days and weeks, and find myself in that just frustrated and overwhelmed feeling. And whenever I stop and step out of that overwhelm, I realize I haven't been given God the reins. It happens to me every single time. You'd think I'd learn by now.
You know what? I've kind of learned that I'm never going to learn.
I probably need to learn that.
You know, I used to get so irritated with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament about how many times the Lord would show Himself mighty, and then they wouldn't get it. And I just thought they were just downright stupid. And then I got older and realized I'm just a stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you constantly need to be reminded and spanked and of how to be tuned into the Lord in order to be able to accomplish His will. So that's definitely a very common thing many of us share, is that lack of focus and that constant need for being reminded by the Lord. How about the other side of that coin, Jen? What would you say is your biggest career success, or has been your biggest career success, and what made it so successful?
For me, I think part of it is just surviving 3.5 years as a small business owner. I hear so many people that haven't made it this long. Hear about all these new businesses starting every year, and so many failing every year. So to still say that I'm surviving, I'm out there thriving even in my business is to me a success. And I, again, give all the credit to God. I look back over the last 3.5 years and I think, goodness, how have I survived? I've made some stupid mistakes. I've done some things that, looking back, I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? And as I've learned through that 3.5 years to instead, again, flip all those things and say, all right, this wasn't my best decision. What can I learn from that? God, what are you trying to teach me? But just, I think, persevering and staying in there. I actually got to a low point last summer and was really struggling. Am I in the right place? Is this what I was supposed to be doing? And my husband looked at me and he said, you love to coach. This is what God has gifted you to do. And would you want to go back to just a regular, you know, salaried position. And I sat there for a second and I said, no, I really wouldn't. Like, I can't even imagine doing that anymore. And so just being reminded to, again, have that faith in God that he was going to have me exactly where he needed me. And so just, I think perseverance would have to be my answer for that one right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a guest on the show some time ago named Jeff Stallings. He owns a company called the Mobile Attic Self-Storage. And the way he articulated exactly what you just said mm-hmm. is that he's just too stupid to quit. And that's what perseverance is just being too stupid to quit sometimes.
I used the word stubborn, but yes.
For me, in my case, I think stupid is a better adjective, but no, and I think you're so right. Perseverance, it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to do something different. And sometimes we're supposed to, no doubt about that. And that's that understanding and discernment comes from the Lord and seeking his face. But, you know, the Bible, God tells us through the Bible about enduring and enduring during tough times to do what he's called us to do. And that's a good lesson for all of us to grab hold of there. Would you say that there's been a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did God clear that smoke for you?
Absolutely. When I was with the YMCA, and again, they were an organization that I loved, and I loved the people and the mission and everything about it. And yet I felt this discontent for some reason, and I couldn't always explain it. And I moved 7 different times within the YMCA across 6 different states. And I kept thinking, you know, the next one's going to be the fit that's going to be right for me. And I'm not going to have that feeling of discontent. And it just never truly came for me. And so, you know, I spent years, probably about 10 years, as I look back at my journals, crying out to God, saying, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? I'm giving blood, sweat, and tears, I feel like, but there's still something that's just not sitting right for me. And it was interesting when I came upon the coaching, which was a friend of mine, he was going through his own certification course and asked for a guinea pig to do coaching with him. And it was a 30-minute session, no big deal. He was pretty new to coaching, so he wasn't even, he would tell you, not at his best coaching. And it just, like, all of a sudden I felt this just sense of, wow, this is powerful. And I can remember sitting there in the coaching consultation and just feeling just this, I can't even explain it, just this unique sense of, if everybody could feel this and get this clarity about their lives, what a difference, you know, this world would be. We have so many people that are just muddling through and confused and overwhelmed and all those things. So that was kind of the first moment. But then again, it wasn't until 6 years later that I had that moment when, the God gift of the amount of money to pay for my coaching certification. And even then, though, after I got the certification, I was still struggling with, what direction do I take this? Do I go work for a company? Do I work for myself? And over that next probably 6 months, as I started to pray through my next steps, I just kept hearing God say, you got to trust me on this. And so there was a weekend, and it just actually popped up in my Facebook memory. I was up in Brevard, North Carolina. I'd gone for a hike. I love spending time in nature. That's when I really feel closest to God. And after my hike, I was in some of those little shops up in Brevard, and I went into 3 different shops. And in all 3 shops, I saw either something cross-stitched or on a t-shirt or on a plaque or whatever that said, leap and the net will appear. And it's like each time it was neon signs flashing at me. And I didn't, you know, no other signs in any of the shop caught my attention, but that one did 3 times over. And I just felt God saying, if you leap, I'm there for you. And so I crafted my conversation with my boss for a week later to tell him that I had made the decision to leave the Y and was going to start my own business. He thought I was crazy. I told him he could be absolutely correct. I stayed another couple of months to help them, you know, finish out things. And then I, February of 2014, left. And my first day, I'm like, what the heck am I doing? But again, just spent time with God saying, I need you to just paint the path of where this is going. And so that's kind of how he helped me figure out what to be doing.
Leap and the net will appear. What a wonderful thought to end up our first segment today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, "Once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and His glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work." Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now back to our interview with Jennifer Chacon. All right, Jen, here's another question for you. How are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ?
Well, hopefully in a lot of ways. I I don't necessarily call my business in a way, anyway, a Christian-based business, but I feel like any business owner or leader out there who is a Christian, what they do every day is a Christian-based career. But hopefully what I'm helping people do is connect their health, their work, and their life in the way that Christ wants them to live that. And understanding that my belief is God created each of us on purpose and for a purpose. And he has given us personalities and skills and gifts, talents, dreams and passions in order to do the work that he has planned for us. And sometimes we can get caught up in just getting through life of just putting food on the table, which is a good thing, but not the only thing, of showing up for work, of just muddling through without really a clarity of or an intentionality that what we do it each day impacts God's kingdom and his work for us. And so that's what I try to really help the people that I work with do, is connect back into who did God create them to be as an individual, that they are worthy, that they are loved, and that God has a big plan and purpose for them. And how do they go about doing that? How do they protect their health so that they can show up in the healthiest, most aware and energetic way possible? How do they show up at work every day? How do they know what work to be doing every day? If they're a business leader, how are they impacting their team's lives every day through their work? Are they creating an atmosphere where people are excited to be at work? Because that's a huge part of our lives. And then how do we connect all of that in the rest of those areas of life, in serving, in our family, in what we do for fun even? And so that's how I'm hopefully impacting others, is just connecting all those dots for people, or helping them do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just an offshoot question that just popped into mind as you were giving that answer. If you could, and I'm putting you on the spot here, if you could detect one particular thing that you have recurringly had to help people work through, what would that one commonality, the thing that you most frequently encounter, be? And what's the advice that you tend to give those people about that issue?
That's a great question. The thing that I would say 90% of the time is fear. They are fear of stepping out of their comfort zone, out of status quo. We do that with our health. If you have someone who's unhealthy, they may say, well, I've tried over and over again to be healthy and nothing worked. And so they're going to stay in that fear of, I'm going to fail again if I try again. Same thing with our careers. There are tons of people in our society right now that are in a career that they're miserable in, and yet they're scared to take the leap and say, what if I went out and found what I'm really supposed to be doing and something that I enjoy and something that I'm good at? And it's that fear, and that's understandable. Your career is how you provide for your family. To give that up is a scary thing. And even in life, you hear of people, just the fear to make a commitment to a relationship or really try to make their marriage work instead of just sitting back in the discomfort. So I would say fear is what holds us back in so many areas. And if we can just remember that stepping into that fear is what's actually going to move us forward. And, everything we did in life was scary at first. Walking was probably scary, although we don't remember it because we were so young. Riding a bike for the first time, learning anything new or challenging ourselves is always scary. And it's almost always worth it, too.
That is so good. You know, that when you were talking about that, it made me think of another story from one of my other recent guests, Randy Goff, who's a Chick-fil-A franchisee, but he also was a fighter pilot in the mm-hmm. Armed Forces. And he told me in our interview that it was more fearful for him after he left the military to try to figure out what his next move was career-wise. He said that was more scary than facing death on a mission in an airplane.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. You're bringing up the fact that fear is the commonality that most people deal with. That's a real thing. And I think a lot of times mm-hmm. we feel isolated and think it's just us who is that fearful. But that's not true. It's a common, common thing. And it's a rare person and an admirable person who doesn't suffer from that. But it's a rare person who doesn't.
Absolutely.
Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about it and how you reacted to it.
Yeah, I've been trying to think of one with that. You know, working in a Christian organization, I wasn't challenged often in that at all. I mean, occasionally we would have something that just would kind of bump up against that integrity factor. And luckily, again, working in a Christian organization, I felt very blessed that I could say to them, guys, are we really living out loud the way that we should if we make this decision or you know, go this route with this policy or different things like that? And in every case, you know, it's again, talking about fear, it's scary to push back on your boss that way. But in every case, they were willing to look at me and go, you're right. And we appreciate you bringing that up. You know, that would not have upheld our integrity. So I hear about other people bumping into that with their careers where they're not in a Christian-based organization. And I feel for them because it's got to be so much more challenging than what I faced. Working where I am now on my own, of course, it's me and God, the only two running the company, but I still will have people push back when I talk about the spiritual aspect of thriving. And if you're going to thrive, you know, my belief is you have to have a spiritual component in order to thrive. And I'll have people push back on that. And so I'll ask them, I'll say, regardless of your religious beliefs, do you believe that you are connected to the rest of this world in some way, shape, or form? And almost everyone will say yes. And I'm like, then how do you explain that without a belief in a higher calling? And most of them can't answer that. So I don't know if I answered that question well, but it's been interesting from my perspective not to have had the pushback that I see others so often having to have had.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
That one's actually kind of easy. If I start my day every day with my quiet time with God, reading my Bible, having a prayer time, every time that's consistently going to lead to my success. And the days that I do the really quick prayer of God, thank you for this day. And, you know, please bless everybody that I love. Very different days than when I spend the time with him in deep conversation, in deep prayer, and letting him lead me instead of me just kind of thank him as the, you know, the Santa Claus of spiritual beings.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. What would you say is the number one business habit you consistently adhere to that drives your career success? And that's assuming that you have a different business habit. If you don't, then you don't. But if you do, what would that be?
I would say besides the time with God, it is consistently setting goals and thinking where do I want this business to go? Where do I feel like God is leading me with this business? How many lives can I touch through this business, and setting those goals so that I know where I'm going. Without that, going back to the question we talked about earlier, I can lose a lack of focus and I can be all over the place because there's a million different ways that I could show up and hopefully help people. But having that goal setting, and for me, that means daily small goals, weekly little bit bigger goals, monthly goals, and then annual goals each year.
Very good. Very good. How about a productivity tool? Do you have a productivity tool that's either internet-based or not internet-based that enables you to achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace?
To be honest, I'm still working on this one, but I do use, good gracious, I use a lot of the Google tools. Those seem to help me roll up like a number of emails together, which is great. The biggest one that I'm trying to be better about using is Evernote. I love that I can put them into notebooks. I am a notebook junkie, and now being able to have virtual notebooks is kind of a nice thing. So actually, as I was just talking about the goals, I have a notebook of goals, and I copy over the daily, weekly, monthly, annual goals and have that one notebook. And that has helped me stay more focused and on track, and hopefully working hard, smarter and not harder.
There you go. There you go. Now, you said you use a lot of the Google tools. Like, do you use Gmail, for example?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I asked that is that a productivity tool that I stumbled upon some time ago now is called Streak. STREAK, and Streak is a contact management system designed to fit within Google, within the Gmail framework. And it's got a free version, which is what I'm currently using, and then it also has some upgrades you can pay for as well. But it's a great way to track your leads and follow-ups and schedule email follow-ups and things of that nature. So I would encourage you to check that out as a way to kind of augment your Gmail usage.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll definitely check that out.
You bet. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
Three things. All right. I would say really get clarity on who you want to help and how. What is your sweet spot of helping people? And get that as targeted as possible to start out. The second piece would be building on that and be able to share your message clearly and succinctly so that people understand what you do. You can have the best product or service in the world, and if nobody knows what you do or understands it, you're not going to get the business that you seek. And the third thing I would say is just keep God in the middle of it. Have him guide your steps. Have him be, I actually like to call God the CEO of my business. Have him be the one who really helps you see where he wants it to go. And that'll be much more, you'll see much more fruit from that than if you try to go it on your own.
Yeah, that'll preach, no doubt about that. If you could recommend just one book other than the Bible, because we know on the Career Calling Show that the Bible is the number one book all of us should consume on a regular basis. So outside of the Bible, what's one book that you would recommend to our listeners and why?
I have a ton of books on my bookshelf. I love to read. So looking at all of them, I would say Good to Great. For small business owners, it can be a little bit unrelatable because it feels like it's talking about bigger organizations. But if you drill down into it, it really is about what makes a great organization stand out from the good organizations and how do you become that organization. And one of my favorite chapters talks about the level five leader. And it's that leader who is humble, who is willing to, when problems happen, look in the mirror to see what they could have done differently first. And when there are good things going on and things to celebrate, they look to the people around them to say, who do they thank? And it's just, to me, a really beautiful image of what true leadership looks like. And it helps business owners kind of hone in on what is their sweet spot and what are some things that we can do to create a truly great organization. And I don't feel like there are nearly enough great organizations out there anymore. We have a lot of, to me, mediocre organizations and some good ones, but a very tiny handful of great ones. And I'd love to see more great ones out there serving our community.
Sure, absolutely. And Good to Great's probably the most referenced book by my guests. and I haven't heard anybody say this one yet, so I usually end up retorting this one because Jim Collins and a coworker, Morten Hansen, I believe, wrote another book after Good to Great called Great by Choice. And it's a fantastic read as well. And it started from, basically after 9/11 happened in 2001, mm-hmm. they wanted to know how do companies survive bad economic times? And so they did another study on what makes companies thrive during bad economic times. And it's a fantastic read. I'd highly encourage that one as well.
I'm glad to add that to my list.
Yeah, absolutely. Add it to the pile. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go into the real world?
Well, having a number of teenagers in my household right now is a great question. I tell all of them a couple of things. First of all, be willing to work hard. Again, I feel like God put us all here for a purpose, and that purpose was not just to sit around in life and eat off the fat of the land, but to work in some way, to serve others. And so being willing to work hard and serve others in whatever capacity, and I feel like you can do that in millions of different capacities, and being willing to follow their heart of what God told them to do, what they feel God leading them to do, what they feel are their passions and their personalities, their skills, their talents, but to use those in a way that will serve God, that will serve others around them, and use that for some kind of good. there's so many people pushing our young people today to just go make money, and making money and providing for your family is absolutely critical and part of what we want people to do. And it's one of the things I actually love about millennials. They get a bad rap, but I love that they are searching for ways that they can be an impact into our world and our community. And I feel like that spirit of serving others and making an impact on the world can really serve us well if they can get connected to what it is that they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's good advice. And that's a great way to wrap up today's edition of Career Callings. It's been a blessing talking to you today, Jen. So, and I'm guessing there's a lot of people that have been blessed by our conversation as well. So what's the best way that people can connect with you if they'd like to follow up with you with some questions?
Well, I have a website at daretothrive.org. I am also on Facebook, very active on Facebook at Jennifer Rackley Chacon. And my email address, since we were talking email, is jc@daretothrive.org. And I'd love to connect with people.
As always, I'll put those links to contacting Jen on our website at careercallings.net with today's show notes of today's program. Jennifer Chacon, thank you so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. And if you've been blessed by my conversation with Jennifer Chacon, as I have been, then please do go over to careercallings.net to get your copy of today's show notes and also to be able to listen to this podcast as many times as you'd like on careercallings.net. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.